everyone. Welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. Joining me today is Matthew Largent. Matt Largent is a Senior Vice President for City National Bank and Trust Co. He also serves as the host of the Matt Largent Concert, a weekly leadership growth podcast and streaming show. He is a Marine and a former soldier, serving in roles such as drill sergeant and infantryman with over 15 years leading troops. He serves as a consultant and member for several boards and charities. With over three decades of learning, leading, growing, coaching, speaking, and most importantly, in the trenches experience, Matt Largent likes to bring a view that is uniquely different, bringing real life into leadership. Matthew is known for his practical, direct, and focused style. With an awareness that leadership is a choice and not about a title, leadership is about what you bring every day. It's how we should live our life with humble confidence and servant leadership. The creator of Humble Success and Leadership Basic, he spends several days a month speaking to organizations on the empowerment of leadership through breaking comfort zones, creating humility with confidence, and being a servant leader. As a married father and grandfather, aspiring leader, and wannabe superhero, he brings all of this into his personality, making it hard not to relate to his lessons. His fusion of real-life stories and his conversational techniques connect with his audience at an intimate, intense, and individual level. Matt, I'm so excited to have you here today. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and excited to share, because usually when I say, you know, I'm an aspiring superhero, people can't see that I actually have a superhero logo on my wall. So I'm glad that we have some video to prove this.
Yeah, it's pretty evident here. And so your background kind of shows that you have been a superhero too. So I do want to say thank you for your military service on behalf of myself and Bankers Alliance. Thank you for this.
Absolutely. It was truly a pleasure and an honor.
Wonderful. One tradition we have at Bankers Banking Matters is to celebrate all of our unique journeys into banking. Before we started recording, you had shared with me an article about yours, and I'm hoping you will share that with our listeners because it was such a powerful story and I loved hearing it. So would you mind sharing that with us?
Sure, absolutely. So I'd never even thought about banking. You know, it was pretty fortunate if I was actually balancing my checkbook. So banking was not really on my radar. It was a little scary for me. I tried some different journeys. I'd been in leadership. I'd been in sales and different aspects. And in my early 20s, I decided that I really wanted to be that hero. I'd always kind of wanted to be a police officer or law enforcement or military. I wanted to do something for my kids to really look up to. And so I sold everything I had and I joined the Marine Corps in my early 20s. No fear there. You know, you go from owning your own business and doing consulting and leadership to $18,000 a year getting shot at. So it was very exciting for me. But it was what I needed at the time. I think everybody gets to a phase in their life when they look in the mirror and they say, it's not about money. I need to feel good about who I am and what I'm doing. And I'd gotten to that place, luckily early in my life, that I could do something about it. So for 8 years, I was in the Marine Corps and I got to travel around the world. I got to see some different things. I studied law enforcement. I studied police science. I took law, counterterrorism. I just really was excited for the opportunity to get onto that federal or maybe, counterterrorism and do some different things. During this time, 9/11 occurred. That was a big impact on my life. And that's what kind of set me into counterterrorism. And so, I had this whole plan. I was going to get all this education. I was going to get this military time. And then I was going to go into federal law enforcement and, divine providence stepped in. And the first thing that happened was that the Marine Corps said, well, you know, we want you to take on an extra role. We want you to go be a recruiter. And I am a little too blunt to be a recruiter. But I had a good time with it. I was able to be very honest, straightforward with these kids and help them to move forward. But after a couple of years of that, I decided that it was time to go ahead and try the opportunity to go into federal service, that I wasn't going to fulfill a full 20 in the Marines. Just go do try and fulfill this federal service. And again, divine providence stepped in. I got a phone call as I was on terminal leave with the Marines from City National Bank out of Lawton, Oklahoma. And they said, hey, have you ever thought about a career in banking? And I laughed hysterically, because that is just not something that I still have friends to this day that I have known for 30, 40 years that still don't believe me. Like, I show them business cards and pictures of my office. They still don't believe me. It just was not something that people would think of for me. But I thought, why not? You know, I've got terminal leave. I've got time. Police testing takes time. Federal service takes a lot of time to get into. So I've got time and I've got experience and I've got leadership and I've got things to share. So why not here? That was 19 years ago. And I have found that I have had the opportunity to impact more lives in the industry that we have, and with the customers and with the constantly changing and evolving economy, with federal interventions or whatever you want to call it, the constant compliance changing landscape, and how it really affects our customers, and they don't usually understand it. Being able to expect that and to give them that kind of great experience, I got to be a hero in something that I never, ever, ever even considered. And so I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Within a year or so, I was managing a branch. A little under 3 years, I was managing a region area of about 5 to 7 locations. Grew that area to about 19 locations. Just starting in January, I've taken over all of our retail operations. And I get a chance to grow managers. I get a chance to grow bankers. I get a chance to grow people who, like me, came into it without any intention or plan. It's been incredible. I've always been a person that believes in legacy, and legacy isn't what you own. It's how you leave things. It's how people remember you. Legacy to me is if I've impacted a customer or a banker's life and they tell others and teach others the things that I've shown them, that to me is a greater legacy than leaving anything else behind. So, I have 5 amazing children. Somebody didn't explain to me how that worked until later in life. So unfortunately, you know, I have 5 amazing kids. I have 2 grandbabies from my oldest daughter. Her husband is a phenomenal hero to his children as well. So obviously I taught my daughters very well to look for a hero to be with. And my son, my oldest child, did 4 years with the Marines as well, and is now working in federal offices, is now expecting his first. So I'm about to be a third child. We just found out a couple of weeks ago we're going to be grandparents again.
Congratulations. So,
this was so exciting because my son's about to be 30, and I had I was only 4 when I had my first child. Right. So, it's been incredible. So I'm excited. He's out in Virginia by Washington, D.C. And so I'm looking forward to going up there later this year to welcome a new Largent to our clan. So it's been an incredible ride. If you're familiar with Dave Martin likes to talk about being an accidental banker. I like to say I'm a Providence banker, because it was just everything worked perfectly to put me in an industry and in a role where I can be a greater hero than I ever. And don't get me wrong, I served, so I know that these are true heroes. But as a police officer, as a federal agent, I could have saved groups and individuals. I save hundreds and thousands right now. And this is amazing. And it's where we don't have a lot of attention. So that's, and believe it or not, that's the abridged version. So,
hey, I think that's great. And I love that unique viewpoint. And I have to say, congratulations too on the promotion in January. So that's exciting. You've got a lot of good things going on in your life between grandchildren and running the whole retail operations, right?
Yes. Yeah. This is a very exciting time for me. And I've really, really enjoyed this. And I do attack leadership in a very different way. I use a lot of my past experience, my military, and I've been very fortunate. The bank, City National Bank, has been such a great supporter. Even as I joined them, I decided I wasn't done with the military, so I went into the National Guard for a while I was serving. Had a deployment to Afghanistan, and the bank was, they held my role, they held my job. They were so grateful that I was serving, and they said, I've got this. We've got you. We'll take care of your family. We'll take care of everything. You go serve with pride. And so they let me lead the way that I need to lead, humbly, with servant heart, with the ability. I spend 1 to 2 days a week in the branches with my bankers, with my managers, finding out what's going on, what are they seeing, what do they need, and it just keeps me very grounded.
So do you find that your experience in the military has helped you lead in banking?
There's so many double-edged swords in life. The thing that I hate the most is when people are like, my greatest strength is my greatest weakness. But it's a very true statement. I am very honest. I believe in being straightforward with people. I think that people need to know honest truth and honest assessments and have honest feedback, including, you know, giving them good, you know, complimentary feedback and honest feedback on correction. And I got that from my time in the Marine Corps. I am not nearly as harsh as some of those corrections were at times. Of course, this was Marine Corps, you know, a while back. So there was not quite the scrutiny that there is now. So, but it does. It really does. I think the Marine Corps has a really phenomenal way. The military in a whole has a phenomenal way. And I'm going to use that to leapfrog because that's just me. Ashton, I gotta tell you, so one of the things, and I go and I speak at conferences all the time, and, you know, I talk a lot about leadership is no longer about being a subject matter expert. Leadership is about being a people expert. It's about serving your people and serving them well. And the military has established such a phenomenal way of doing this over, you know, hundreds of years of practice. And so when you get to a certain elevated position in leadership, they start training you on not what your job is in the Marines, but how to take care of Marines and how to serve them and how to grow them and how to always. Simon Sinek wrote the book, you know, Leaders Eat Last. It was based on his experience with Marines. It was, you know, he saw them, you know, the leaders serving their people and you know, at the chow hall and taking care of them and making sure that they were taken care of. And so that concept is very, very prevalent in the way that I do things. I'll tell you, for the listeners, if you go look up the Marine Corps leadership principles, there's 13 principles, phenomenal, and they get drilled into you. So yes, I use it a lot in everything that I do.
So if I have no military background and I want to adopt your leadership styles, right, and your philosophy, what are the key points, the things that I need to consider and I have to do?
Well, and it's interesting because the military philosophy and the military ideals that I've used have been outstanding, but we do have to adapt those for civilian world. And the closest thing that I can tell you is servant leadership. And so, you know, servant leadership has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, you know, from everybody from Lao Tzu, you know, 600 BC to Jesus Christ and you know, and beyond. And then 77, a guy by the name of Greenleaf, really started studying this and came up with the principal ideas, the traits of a servant leader. And these are the traits that you see in the same thing that I came out of the military with, but they're a perfect adaptation into leadership outside of the military and even in the military, because it talks about the two different styles. There's serving and then there's leading. You know, serving is that natural idea of I want to serve my fellow people. I want to help them to become more. I want to grow them into a different area. I want to develop them at sometimes I have to give up things in order to get something for them. Not to be sacrificial, but to be selfless. Very different distinction. Some people take sacrifice and think, well, I just got to sacrifice. You need to be selfless, not sacrificial. So, and these are traits like listening, and being empathetic, and healing groups and healing wounds. Leaders are people who have a strong awareness of what's wrong with them, what's wrong with their organization, what's wrong with their people, what do we need to focus on? Greenleaf, I love the quote from actually Hunter, another guy who wrote about servant leadership. He said, I am sharply awake and reasonably disturbed. And that's what a leader is having that kind of awareness. But they're persuasive. They have great conceptualization, good foresight. And when you marry those two kind of sides together of servant leader, then you find somebody who has a great commitment to the people, who is great stewardship. Oh, he understands, or she understands, that they are serving and that it isn't, these aren't my possessions. These aren't my people. I am a steward of them. I'm here to serve them because they've given me their life, their livelihood, and their respect. And, you know, they've put everything into my hands. So servant leadership is absolutely, hands down, one of my favorite programs. And a lot of people think it's touchy-feely leadership, and it absolutely is not. Accountability is part of that. That is part of being sharply awake and reasonably disturbed. You're having good accountability. We can't take care of our bankers unless we're taking care of our bank. There's no chance for me to give my bankers opportunities, for me to grow my managers, my district managers, my regional managers. There's no opportunities for me to help my communities and for me to grow new options and new technologies unless I'm taking care of the bank. And so my first priority is to take care of the bank so that I can do those things for my people.
So you're kind of an advocate then, right? So you're an advocate both for the bank, though, as well as for your people, your employees, your folks.
Yeah. And I think it has to be in that order. If I don't advocate for my bank, then my people will never advocate for my bank. Employee engagement is another thing that I love to talk about in my speaking. And as a matter of fact, I'm doing a conference in May in Florida. Thank you. Very excited that I'm going to be talking about empowerment and employee engagement and high performing teams. But employee engagement has nothing to do with whether or not they like you. Employee engagement is how connected they are to the organization. Do they believe in the organization? Do they understand what its goals and what it needs to achieve and why? And are they emotionally invested in the organization achieving those goals? And so to me, I'm a bridge for that. My job is to be a bridge, is to show them the organization's goals, what it's going to do for them, for their community, for their teams, what it's going to do for us, for each other, and then get them emotionally invested in us achieving the goals that we have together.
Yeah, so you're getting their buy-in, right? Like for the bank as a whole.
Absolutely have to. Starts with a great vision, a great set of values, strong mission, and then being able to share it. A vision has to be seen. That's why they call it a vision. Otherwise, it's a mirage.
That's awesome. We talk about that all the time through our virtual compliance program, right? Just getting our banks to buy into the program and making sure we have that commitment so that it can succeed, because without it, it can't. So I totally relate to that. So you get the buy-in, but then I want to circle back to something else you said, where you talked about how it's not, I forget the exact phrasing you said, but it reminded me of basically like use tough love, don't enable bad behavior. Tell me a little bit about that. How do you approach those conversations?
It's a perception change. And like my bio likes to always point out, I'm an analogy person. I like to tell stories. I have a good friend of mine. He's a volunteer firefighter. And this was the best analogy or idea of perception change that I ever heard. He said he was going through the testing for firefighter, and you're going through, and there's like it's a fake house or whatever, where it's made to where it'll like smoke will billow out, doors will heat up, all that stuff. And he's got literally an instructor behind him with a notepad, like no pressure, no stress whatsoever there.
Everything's fine.
No, it's good. I'm about to run into a smoking building that's full of heat, and there's a guy with a clipboard watching me. It'll be great. He said the one thing that you absolutely can't do is freeze. For a firefighter, you're not just putting yourself in a world of danger, but you are drastically decreasing the chances for others to survive. So one thing you can't do is freeze, which totally makes sense. So he says he goes up to the front door. He's got this instructor behind him, and he feels the front door like he's supposed to do and all those things. And he takes his little, you know, piece of big machinery, and he hammers into that door. The door flies open and smoke just billows out. And he says, I couldn't see a thing. And so immediately I'm froze. Like, I can't see anything. I have no idea. I've got my mask on, smoke's all in my face, and I have no idea what to do. And he hears the instructor behind him say, take a half step right. And so he just automatically does it. And immediately that smoke starts billowing past him, and he can see clearly in the house. And a minute he can see clearly, he moves. And to me, that tells us that perception is about everything. It doesn't mean that we don't have to agree with everybody's perception, but we have to listen to it, because it may give us a half step right. And so when we talk mm-hmm. about accountability and we talk about tough love, it's about that half step right. We've got to look at it and understand we're doing this for their benefit. I have 5 kids and 3 grandkids, or soon to be 3 grandkids. I'll tell you, I made them eat their vegetables because I knew it was better for them. And there were times that I had to use persuasion to get them to eat their vegetables. My oldest daughter likes to tell the story that I always used to tell her there was sugar in her green beans. I made sweet green beans with sugar in them, which was a great story until she wanted to make the green beans. And she put, how much sugar should I put in? I'm like, oh no. Yes. So I told her it was a bad can. It's just a bad can of green beans. We'll make another can. It'll be fine. We do these things for their best interests. And in the same train of thought, education and curfews and things like that, we hold strong accountability to them because we want them to learn. I'm not saying that our employees are children. I'm saying that we used these accountability procedures for learning. It's not a disciplinary action to me. It's a corrective action. I want to correct this behavior. I want you to learn a better behavior or a better action. I'm not mad at you. It's not you. It's the action or the behavior. That's it. And so getting them to see that is a challenge, 100%. But for us, we have to see it that way. As leaders, we have to say, if they don't know, they can't fix it. And so we have to be able to show them. My rule of thumb has always been, you coach, mentor, teach, train. You show them the proper behaviors, the proper actions, and then you observe them. And if they don't have it, you do it again. And if they don't have it, you do it a third time. But let's be honest, not everybody is made for every industry and for every job. If I do it a third time and they're still struggling, then I may need to look for them a new role with our bank, or a new opportunity or something different, because this just may not be the place for them. And so we've got to find them the right spot. But that's not, I'm not being a jerk. I'm not, I'm not doing it to be abusive or mean. I'm not giving people corrective actions because I don't like them. I'm doing it because I want them to be better and I want them to grow and I want them to be with me for a very long time and I want them to have opportunities. And that's servant leadership. I am serving them best by looking out for their best interests, even when they don't. I have to.
Yeah. And by being that example for them to emulate, you're also, I think, probably building the trust they have in you, right? Getting buy-in, not with the bank, but even with you as their leader. That makes great sense.
Yeah. Setting the example is more than just, you know, doing exactly what you say. It's going above and beyond and exemplifying it heart, soul, and mind. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Matt, if you could share one piece of advice with our listeners, it can be about servant leadership or anything else you think we need to hear. What would that be?
Banking. One of the reasons why I love to do public speaking for banks is because banking, we have a tendency that if we have somebody who's a really good bookkeeper, we move them up to the head of bookkeeping instead of going, are they really good leaders? We need to, as bankers and as that's true really in a lot of industries, but this one holds a lot of, you know, near and dear to my heart. Leadership is about leadership. It's not about them being a subject matter expert in their field. Them having knowledge in their field, absolutely critical. Them being the best in their field, absolutely not critical. I surround myself with people who are far better than me at all sorts of things, and I trust in them because they're better than me at those things. My job is to tie it together, to make it cohesive, to give clear vision, give clear values, and to lead them and give them all the things that they need to be successful. So if I had one piece of advice is that if you're in a leadership position, take the time to serve first, make the conscious decision to lead, and then go after that education, that training, that development, not more of what you've already got. Grow in your leadership.
Perfect. I love that. Thanks for joining me today, Matt. This has been wonderful.
Absolutely. I had a lot of fun. Anytime, I'm happy to come.
Great. And for the rest of you, that's Banking Matters.